So let's just give Elaine a like till 3:05, a couple more minutes. If she doesn't show up, I think we still might have quorum with four people here and one person excused. Is that correct, Kira?
Four makes
And
four.
actually, yeah, and Thomas is on vacation. I don't know if this is his meeting or not. But anyway, okay. So give her one more minute, and then if she doesn't show up, then I can facilitate the beginning of the meeting through, agenda review, minutes review, as well as the increased funding scenario. And then I'll just turn it over to Dave, to facilitate the rest of the meeting if Elaine doesn't show up. How does that feel to you folks? Okay. All right, a little bit less than a minute. Come on, Elaine. Come on. Can do it. I wonder if she got her. I know that last time we met, she was literally in the middle of an interview. I wonder how that worked out. Okay, 3:05. Let's start it up. Let's start with introductions. Mark Molnar, Council Staff. Gwen?
Gwen Smith, Council Member.
Ron?
Ron Hernandez, Committee Member.
Zachary?
Zachary Davenport, Council Member.
Ed?
Ed Chitty, Council Member.
Kira?
Kira, Council Staff.
Dave?
David Jordan, Council Staff.
And Pedro.
I'm Pedro Felix, an applicant.
All right, Kara, if you can pull up the agenda. All right, so let's see here we have our increased funding scenario. We usually look at these things in September, but steering and HHS thought, this is unusual that we're getting increased anyway, so let's just tackle this a month in advance. That's why we're seeing that here now. And then we have our regular stuff. How unprofessional. We have our council member attendance report, as well as within this agenda item, our review of a renewal and an interview, hopefully with two different applicants. And then after that, we have our demographic information update from Kira. And then, of course, our standing topic around council recruitment. Any objections to approving the agenda as written? All right, seeing none, approved by consensus. We can get the minutes. All right, there are minutes from our last meeting. Let's see who was here and who was absent. Who else was present? We looked at the carry forward allocation clearly, and then we also looked at our regular stuff. We approved folks for the interviews today as well as renewal. Any changes or shifts or updates to the
I have
minutes?
potentially one amendment.
Okay.
At the bottom there, I guess you call it the tally, vote tally, column four. I don't mean to call anyone out, but I think Elaine Flores was in the meeting during most of that interview, and she left near the end. But she did send you, Mark, a message to cast her vote.
Absolutely.
Oh, did
However,
you still
we
technically
actually
vote?
can't, we actually can't count that as a vote. So what I did during that meeting was relay Elaine's feelings, that she would have voted no on that applicant because of reasons. But we can't count it if they're not in the room. Elaine is has certainly self-disclosed that she is not HIV positive, and our proxy voting is only for those HIV positive consumers of services. And so that was not designated. It wouldn't have been anyway.
Okay.
Does that make sense, Ron?
It does make sense. I just feel singled out, that's all.
You feel singled out. Why do you? Oh, because of that N.
Yeah.
We all should embrace viewpoint diversity, Ron. All righty. Are there any other updates or questions about that? Can we approve by consensus? I mean, any objections to approving by consensus? All right, seeing no objections, next on the agenda, announcements. Any announcements? I have one announcement, is that the co-chairs have determined to continue our meetings, all meetings, via Zoom. So all September meetings will also be virtual. Any questions about that? All right. We do have one member of public. Do you have any public comment, Pedro? Nope. Okay, thanks. All right, so let's move into the reason why I'm here, and then I'll turn it over to Dave to facilitate, and I will leave you all. So increased funding. I'll set the stage, really, and there's nothing that we need to share a screen on because it's a pretty straightforward motion that you'll be hearing about. So as I mentioned earlier, normally we do our reduced, our increased, and our flat funding scenarios in September in advance of our prioritization allocation meeting. However, this year is a very unusual year. We have, for the first time in my memory, an increase in funding for Ryan White Part A and for Minority and AIDS Initiative. I'll give you the amount. Let me just pull that up. So we have an increase. It's not like a sizable, but it's an increase, a 2.4% increase for Ryan White Part A. That amounts to about $354,167. We also have a 4.25% increase for MAI, Minority AIDS Initiative, and that's for $751,641. So this is, per usual, a traveling motion that is now appearing at membership. The first committee that looked at what to do with this increased funding scenario was the Community Engagement Committee. The Community Engagement Committee was provided three different potential paths that they could do with this funding. So I went over the first path, which is they could pick and choose based on what they've learned from presentations this year, specific service categories that they just like to apply these to. The second path would be they can create a new project. Now that's a pretty big path to decide to go down because it would require a lot of conversation, negotiation with HIV health services, it would require an RFP process. It's a lot, but both those paths are certainly paths that the council can choose to do. Excuse me. The committee chose to go the third path, which was a proportional increase across all service categories. The committee chose this route because it seemed the most equitable for all service categories. And it's also the feedback they received from the provider network in one of the presentations they had earlier this year. And also representative of the provider network did show up to speak in public comment for that idea. The committee felt that this was the best way to give everyone a little bit of something, mainly because, well, not mainly, but I think a large part of that was the city itself has approved I think it's a 2.5% cost of doing business increase for all general funded contracts. They did not approve the same for Ryan White funded contracts, which leaves some service providers kind of in a pickle. You know, let's say there's agency A that has a program that's funded by both general funds and by Ryan White funds. Now, they would be able to use city funds to give their general funded staff a raise. They could not do that for their Ryan White contracted staff. So that just creates a sort of a lack of parity within service providers. And so that was a big point that the Community Engagement Committee considered when looking at both parity across all service categories, just give every service category a little bit, and also parity across funding streams from general funds to Ryan White. But that was a big mouthful. Before we actually go to the motion, any questions about what I just portrayed? No? Okay, great. I guess that was clear enough for folks. You're all with me? Okay, so the motion then on the floor does not need to be moved or seconded because it's coming from committee, is from Council Affairs. Community Engagement decided, as I mentioned, that third path of proportional increases. It then went to Council Affairs, who said, yes, we agree. And so now it's landed here. The motion on the floor is to proportionally increase all service categories. Any discussion on this motion on the floor? No? Okay. Any public comment on the motion on the floor? No? All right, because this doesn't involve funds, I'll do a roll call vote. Gwen Smith.
Number three.
That is a motion.
I'll go with number three.
That would be a yes then. Okay. Yes. Ron.
Yes.
Zachary.
Yes.
Ed.
Yes.
Nikki. JP Soto. John Paul Soto. Going once, going twice. All right. I think JP might still be connecting. So that motion passes. I guess we'll just, Kira, on the record, we'll just have a blank next to JP's name for this particular vote. And it will now appear at steering. And that's pretty much it from me. I will see you all later, and I'll turn over facilitation of this meeting to Dave Jordan. Dave, you ready?
Yep. Yes, I am.
All right. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye, Mark.
Hi, everyone. So, looks like we are moving on to our standard items on the agenda for committee membership updates. One moment while I pull up that agenda so I can read through it. All right, so no probations of letter sent this week. We do have a renewal for Elaine Flores. So if Kira has that handy, she'd like to, I believe we generally screen share that application for renewal, and we can quickly review that. You want to scroll it back up to the top, we can see. Oh, here we go.
Do you want me to go page by page?
Sorry, that's great. Okay. Unless that's too small for anyone else. So is there anyone who, I guess, can't see that or would like me to read any of these answers or questions out loud? Or is everybody comfortable just reading them on their own?
I'm comfortable.
Okay. Does anyone need any more time to review her application? Looks like no. Probably stop screen sharing. So because Zoom is a little challenging with the raising hands, I'm just gonna make this a, if there's nobody objects, we will consider her application move forward for vote at full council. Hearing no objection, we're gonna go ahead and move forward with that. Thank you very much. And we'll let Elaine know. So got no new applications. We do, sorry, the notice of attendance sent for Paul Harkin. I believe that was actually a carryover from last month. It should have been removed. Billy Cooper is currently still on LOA. And we have two folks to interview. Unfortunately, it looks like one of them is not here. So generally what we like to do is review the application one more time, and then we will move on to the interview process. So for that, Pedro, I think we'd like to sort of move you over to a breakout room while the rest of the committee reviews your application. We'll bring you back for the interview and then sort of move on from there. Does that sound good?
Sounds good.
Thank you. Kira, can you go ahead and make the breakout room happen? Great. And if you have Pedro's application to screen share, that would be great. If you don't, I can open it up on my end.
I don't have it. I can't find it. I only have manuals. Can you open up on your end, actually?
Yeah, it should be in the folder for last month's minimum. But let me give me 1 second. Everybody seeing that? Yes, nobody not seeing it? Okay. So I know I'm trying to think. I believe Ed and Ron were here last month and had an opportunity to review it. You know, Gwen and Zachary did not, I believe. So although this may have actually been initially reviewed in June. I was not there at that meeting for some reason. On vacation. I'm going to go ahead and scroll down to questions if that's okay with everyone. Oh, apparently the responses are all in an attached document. One moment, let me track that attached document down. Nope. Stop share. Sorry for the delay. Okay, sorry about this. There we go. Here's a brief bio.
Can you zoom in a bit or increase the font?
Sorry. Different things have the Zoom in different places.
Thank you.
Does that work for you?
Thank you, yes.
I'm sorry, I just got off my other call. Can you remind me who this is for?
This is Pedro Felix. He is staff at Alliance. He will be sort of taking Jesse Murphy's recently open seat.
Okay.
That is, if you guys choose to approve his application.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Quick question. We still have Helen. She got renewed recently from Ward 86 as well, right?
I believe so, yes. Was that 2 months ago?
Sounds about right. Okay. But this is for that specific seat that you just mentioned.
No. So Helen is Jesse Murphy, who is representing mental health at Alliance.
Mental health, okay.
Yeah, although Zachary technically is our, we have a mandated mental health seat, and I believe that Zachary is actually the person who is officially in that mandated mental health seat, although mental health is clearly a concern for a great many Ryan White Part A consumers, and it doesn't feel like it could be, and we know a lot of people are accessing services at Alliance, so I think we've all found Jesse's input to be helpful over the years.
Great, thank you. I just wanted to think about the bigger picture again, so thank you for the reminder.
No problem. Are we all basically up to date here on this last question? Are we good? Okay, I'm gonna stop sharing that. Believe you all were given interview questions, had them sent to you before the meeting. Does anyone wanna claim a specific question to ask? It's generally helpful to sort of maybe square some of these away ahead of time, so that we're not, it doesn't look like bumper cars during the actual interview.
I actually didn't receive them, Dave.
I didn't see an attachment when that email was sent this morning.
Okay, let me quickly share. And we can all look at them together.
I could take the second question. Seems yes.
Okay. Anyone else?
I can take the first question.
I'll take number three. Let me write it down.
So we got 1, 2, and 3?
Yeah.
David, did you want me to share this file as we're interviewing or no?
No, I think it would be more helpful for folks to be able to see, you know, be able to see each other's faces potentially, unless the committee feels otherwise.
Yeah.
I could do number 4.
Okay.
I just took a screenshot of it.
All right. I can just cover 5. I mean, 5 is pretty basic. It's just, you know, attendance requirements.
Question about my question.
Uh-huh.
Can I tweak it? Or does it have to stay exactly as written?
No, you should feel free to word it in whatever way makes most sense for you.
I kind of want to modify it to give more of this personal experience rather than work experience.
Additionally, any other questions you may have that may come up due to his answers or things that are just on your mind, you should feel free to ask, okay? Okay. I'm going to stop share. And,
oh, wait, I didn't finish writing mine. Sorry, team.
That's okay.
Okay, I'm done.
Okay. Any additional questions about the interview process or anything else before we get started? I know some of you have done this a number of times, probably a couple of you have not done it in a while. If you have no other questions, I'll just have Kira bring Pedro back for his interview. Hi, Pedro. Welcome back. So we just had everybody refresh their memory on your application, and the committee members have a few questions for you. Just for the sake of transparency, I always give the questions to, I'm speaking to the committee and everyone, I give the questions in advance to anyone who's applying and has made it through to the application or to the interview stage. So it's an open book test. We're not trying to catch anyone by surprise with any, gotcha questions or anything. So we'll go ahead and get started. Who had question number 1? Go ahead, Zachary.
Hi, Pedro, welcome. So the first question is, how did you hear about the Planning Council and why are you interested in joining?
Thank you. Thank you, first of all, for having me. I'm really grateful for the opportunity to be interviewed and being considered for the council. I first heard about the council from my colleague, Jesse Murphy, who used to be a member of the council and who had to leave the council after the pandemic. And so she mentioned the meeting to me and sort of informed me about the purpose of the meeting and sort of the logistics of the meeting. And the reason that I am interested in being part of the council is because I began my social work, my professional career working in HIV services. And then after 5 years, when I went to graduate school, I worked in community mental health. And now I am back for the last 2 years working in San Francisco in HIV community mental health at Alliance Health Project. And I am interested in understanding more how funding for HIV services are distributed in the city and eventually being able to advocate or support in the distribution of funds so that the best services available can be provided to our community members.
Thank you so much.
All right. Thanks. Any follow-up questions from anyone?
Yes, Pedro, I do have one. I'm sorry, David, I have one for Pedro. Hi, Pedro, it's Ron.
Hi, Ron.
How are you doing? Glad to be, you're here. Besides your professional work, could you share any personal experience with the HIV community?
Yes, so I am a gay man, and I have been in the United States since I was 12, and I have been in the San Francisco Bay Area since the year 2000, right after graduating from high school. And so as a gay man, I have understand from very early on the risk of HIV and the impacts of HIV in my community, not only the gay community, but also the Latino community, the immigrant community. And my partner's brother is HIV positive, and I have several friends who are HIV positive. And I am also personally interested in this because it's my community essentially that is impacted by HIV care and impacted by how the funding is distributed.
Thank you for sharing that, Pedro.
Thank you. Hi, Pedro. My name is Gwen.
Hi, Gwen.
And I have question number 3. Nice meeting you, and your application was very impressive to me.
Thank you. So, thank you. Nice meeting you too.
Question number 3. Please tell us what specific skills and/or abilities you would share as a planning council member. In other words, where do you picture yourself making the greatest contribution to the council?
Yes, so I have been working in direct service so since 2005. So for the last 17 years, I have worked in community settings. So homeless shelters, community mental health clinics, and HIV clinics. And I have done direct service with clients. I am currently supervising a program. I'm supervising 4 case managers for our HALT program that sees clients from Ward 86. And during 9 years, I worked in Alameda County in a community mental health program as a program manager and director. And I had the opportunity to work in program implementation and program planning. We developed and implemented programs that assisted people with severe mental illnesses, people who had forensic histories, and people who were Medi-Cal recipients and were interested in vocational services. So because of my direct experience and my administrative experience and program implementation, I think my contributions would be on sort of figuring out or supporting the implementation of new programs or the maintenance of current programs that are working. My primary area of focus is mental health. And so I believe that the mental health services that are in San Francisco is something that I'm familiar with and something that I'm becoming familiar again, because when I first worked in 2005 to now, there have been many changes. And so so mental health would be my area of contribution. I also see myself advocating and contributing towards the Latino communities, the Spanish-speaking communities, and the undocumented communities, because they're communities that I feel most connected to.
Thank you.
Thank you for that, Pedro. I'm gonna go ahead and go next. Hi there, my name is JP.
Hi, JP.
I go by JP, a council member as well. My question, effective community planning means that the group, often representing different points of view, must bring themselves to consensus on any matter. This often involves a level of compromise for many or all persons involved. If you were to be making a decision as a council member, what would you view as the three most important elements in making your decisions?
Yeah, I was really impressed by this question when David shared it with me. And I've been giving it a lot of thought. I think the three most important elements in my making a decision would be, so one, the impact that the decision has. So how many people are impacted by it? How does it impact? Is it a decision that's gonna have a minimum effect or a maximum effect? So the impact of the decision. The second thing would be trying to make an informed decision. And so what is the information that we have available, right? Is it, we can't predict the future. We don't know how things are gonna turn out or change later on. But sometimes for decision-making, we have some information that is available, or we can look for the information to try to make the best informed decision. Also related to that is being able to justify the decision. So if later on, if we were to be questioned on why we made the decision that we made, if we're able to defend it or justify it, that is something that I take into account when making a decision. And then the third point, I had a more difficult time sort of articulating, but it's sort of a gut feeling, right? It's, you know, what is sort of the intuition that we get or the sense that we get? Sometimes some decisions could be very analytical or could be in paper the best decision, but there's something about it that doesn't quite make sense. So I tend to pay attention to that sort of gut feeling as well, and sort of getting a sense of, you know, what is the gut reaction for this decision. So so the impact of the decision, how well informed the decision is, and then the gut feeling for the decision.
That is a fantastic thought out answer. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Pedro, thank you. That was a really thoughtful answer to that last question. One of the better I've heard in the last almost 10 years of sitting in these interviews.
Thank you.
So sort of one last little piece of housekeeping. I presumably, you know, talking to Jesse and sort of reading through the materials on the website, you're familiar with what our sort of meeting calendar looks like and how often we meet. We do have attendance requirements for council members. You'd be required to attend the full council meeting once a month, as well as one standing committee, as sort of a member of a standing committee. And that's sort of the minimum. There are other work groups and things like that and the opportunities additional to those, but those are sort of the primary. And so it generally looks like about 5 hours of meetings per month, give or take. Does that feel like a thing that you can commit to?
Yes.
Yeah. Great. Yeah. I kind of assumed that you knew that and it wasn't going to be a surprise, but I just wanted to, it's good to hear that people are, because you would be surprised. Sometimes people get into the position and are like, oh, this is a lot of additional work I wasn't expecting. Of course, there's going to be document, you know, you're going to need to like review, familiarize yourselves with documents and things like that ahead of meetings in order to be effective in your decision making. But the actual meeting time is generally about 5 hours.
Sounds good. Yeah.
Does anybody have any additional questions?
Yeah, I have one.
Go ahead.
Hi, Pedro.
Hi, Ed.
I'm Ed. I'm council member. And I'm the wild card question, I guess. Our community has so many needs that are out there. If, and I'm going to toss housing out, what do you, as a professional, coming onto the council, see as one of the biggest needs in our community?
Not counting housing,
because that's always number one.
Uh-huh. I agree with you that there's a lot of needs that our community has. My lens and my sort of corner of the services has been around mental health. And the way the COVID pandemic has impacted all of us and our wait lists and the stress of quarantine and the stress of isolation in our long-term survivors and our aging community members who live with HIV has been really impactful. And it's something that is impacting us in the mental health treatment side. I'm particularly attuned to the aging population and then the community members who live with severe mental illness, with psychotic symptoms, with bipolar disorder, with schizophrenia, because they're the most vulnerable and they need additional support. They're more limited in terms of reaching out and receiving care. And so that is one area of services that is very much in need. As a community at large, I think I still have a lot to learn in terms of like how connected the community is, how much advocacy there is, how much other areas are impacting them. But given my corner of the issue, I would say that mental health services is very impactful. And if your well-being is established, if your mental health is established, then everything else tends to follow. Like at least you have the resources or the energy or the strength to look out for whatever else it is that you need.
Thank you, very well put.
All right, does anybody else have any additional questions?
Do we have an opportunity to ask if he has questions for us?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, of course. Pedro, do you have any questions for the committee?
Perfect timing. I think you froze.
Yes, I'm interested in, I think I froze. Did I freeze? Sorry.
No, you're fine now. You're fine now.
Okay. So I'm wondering what are the expectations and the suggestions that you would have to be a successful council member?
If I could take a first shot, I've been on the council for a number of years. I started really young, actually, in my mid-20s. One thing that I can say that was really important for my growth was to actually talk to a lot of other members. And I think now we actually have a formal mentor program that is really, I think, helpful to help, you know, sometimes bridge the learning curve that sometimes exists, depending on how much you know about the different things that we are looking at and talking about and giving recommendations on. Luckily, you're very much involved in the field, and it probably won't be a big deal, but I think definitely talking to other folks, talking to them about their experience and just what they're bringing to the table as well, I think would be really helpful.
Thank you, JP.
I'm going to jump in. I think one thing is to note that the council is a safe space, that you do not always have to agree with every member, but you have a voice and that you're recommending or representing, you know, certain groups of people. And I think that whether someone has a PhD or a high school diploma, or maybe not even that, every voice is valuable and every opinion is, I hate to use the word sacred, but you're representing people. The second thing I would say is to remember that you are representing a group and not yourself. In other words, it's not a self-driven agenda, but we're looking at the community as a whole.
Right, thank you.
Anyone else?
I'll just say a few words. Pedro, thank you for all of your answers. First of all, they were I was very impressed and excited. And I would also agree with what JP said in terms of asking for support, asking for help from fellow council members, and particularly from your mentor. Ron was mine and was wonderful. And having that bond and just like somebody you can go to and ask questions, because there's so many pieces of information and acronyms and like acronyms for days. And so it's just helpful to be like, what is this? So please feel free, of course, if you do join the council, to ask any of us questions, ask for help. I think I was a little timid at first about asking for help, but realized like that's how we all learn here. So
thank you, Zachary. I really appreciate everyone and in your feedback.
All right. If there's no other follow-ups. Pedro, did you have anything else, or?
No, that was the only question that I had.
Okay, great. Mm-hmm. So the process here is, again, we're gonna ask you to excuse us. You can either go into the breakout room, or you can just log off and I'll reach out to you when the committee's answer, when the meeting is over with.
Okay, sounds good.
You don't have to hang out, but you can if you like.
Thank you. I'll log off and then I'll wait to hear from you.
Okay. I will contact you as soon as I can. Okay.
Sounds good. Great meeting you all.
Thank you very much. All right. Any thoughts on Pedro's interview?
I think he's been one of the more qualified people that we've had interview in a long, long time.
A lot of upside to Pedro. I mean, Jesse was great, but you know, people move on in their lives, and luckily, you know, she was able to sort of refer us somebody who feels like they could be a very good addition. And Zachary is our sort of current mental health seat. I presume that you might also enjoy having some additional voices, so you don't feel like you're not the monolithic voice for all mental health.
I would love it. I would love it. Yeah. I just, again, I'll say I was very impressed with Pedro's application, and we've, you know, interacted very briefly. And, you know, in the field, and I just think he would be an excellent addition for so many reasons, especially I think giving voice to the communities that he represents, and particularly around mental health. I think just giving, we all know that mental health just is, there with housing, you know, they're intertwined and directly related to all of the clients we serve. So
I think, David, you made a really great point earlier that mental health has really been a lot of our conversation. A lot of what we're actually finding is really in more need and needs more concentration right now from a lot of the work that we've done over the course of the last couple of years. So definitely a welcome addition. I'm also very well aware that our numbers have lowered significantly over the course of the last couple of years, while also remembering that we're really low on consumers and folks that reflect the folks that we were working for. But he does hit a lot of marks in terms of experience and his background, the folks that he represents and can, for sure.
Any other thoughts?
I really liked him. I liked his composure, his professional background, and his life experience. I think he'd be a great addition to our council.
Okay. So looks like everybody is here on video. We can do a show of hands. I get a show of hands for voting to move Pedro's application forward to full council for approval. Great, unanimous. That is it. So I will contact Pedro and let him know, and we'll be you'll be voting on his application at this month's full council in a couple weeks. And I will reach out to Manuel, who was also supposed to be here for interview, and see if I can schedule him for next month. Although we probably won't be able to vote on his application until the following month because of the summit. So moving on, unless there are any other thoughts on this agenda item, we have demographic reports. I'll turn that over to Kira.
All right, so this is the demographic report for this month. No numbers actually changed because we didn't lose any members, thankfully, and then we also didn't gain any members. So there are no changes from last month. And then I'll share the EPI demographic report. And so the same thing that I just said about no changes, that's also reflected on this demographic report. So our target area still remain the same. And yeah, there were no changes. Does anyone have any questions about these? Okay, back to you, David. Oh, you're on mute.
I am on mute. Thank you, Kira. So as you know, one of our areas of focus was Latino, Latina, Latinx population, which Pedro would be actually helping improve. Ideally, Manuel as well would be helping with that, although we are still looking to find more consumers of services and fall into some of our target demographic categories, which right now I believe are Latino, Latina, and youth. I think that those are our current areas of concern. I'm not sure if transgender it is. I know we have lost some transgender members during the last couple of years, but I think we might still be within our sort of target. I think that might be it for the sort of functional elements of the agenda. Council recruitment is a standing item. We don't really have, I was kind of just talking about council recruitment. I don't know, I have a whole lot more to add. As I said, we are always open to council members helping recruit. These two people, Pedro and Manuel, were both recruited by former members, Brucido and Jesse Murphy, as their replacements. But we are always looking for community members as well. And in our community outreach efforts, we always are seeking to sort of find people who are sort of interested and proactive a lot of times those, that interview process and in focus group and or one-on-one interviews with community members is actually an excellent way to recruit. So that has been helpful for us in the past, and we will sort of continue down that road unless you have other thoughts. Okay. Beyond that, next meeting date is September 8th, next month. And as Mark said at the beginning of the meeting, we are going to continue to be remote through September. We will be adding the conversation about going back to in-person, back to agenda, committee agendas again next month, so we can begin that conversation to get a sense of where people stand with that. We are, of course, tracking all the sort of epidemiology information around COVID to track new infections and all of that stuff. So our best intentions be damned. If numbers continue to get worse, leadership may choose to keep things remote for the time being, but we will be seeking to do a sort of sense of what all of you have, your feelings about it are. And that is it. Meeting adjourned.
Bye, everybody.
Thank you.
All right. Have a good
meeting. Bye, everyone. Thank you. You too.
Thanks, Kira. See you.